Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My wife will join the show in the 2 o'clock hour. She does every day. Invited her on the first day. She just keeps coming back. Kelly Graves on the show now, Oregon women's basketball coach, joining us. You like Anna on this show.
Hey, finally somebody to carry you in that last hour. She's been great. You know? She's funny. She's articulate. She's got great stories. She's a natural.
Well, we'll keep her.
I like the teamwork.
Well, yeah, we got to do that. You know that. I saw you, man. I saw you after you guys won the Pac-12 championship. You know, you celebrate with your team, but the first thing you did after is you went running over to the railing, leaned over the rail, and gave your wife a big hug and a kiss. I mean, that she's in it with you, isn't she?
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, she's all in, 100%. And, yeah, best assistant coach I've ever had. I run more by her than anybody. And she's a pretty good kisser, too. So, you know, that's not so bad.
Kelly Graves with us, Oregon Ducks women's coach. I wrote about Michael Schill today. He is now the chair of the Pac-12 CEO group. You get a chance to work for that guy. What is he like as a sports fan? What is he like as a boss and a university president?
Well, I think he nailed it. You know, like you said, he's a self-professed non-real sports guy, but he's been a quick learner, and I think he's realized the importance of athletics, you know, and the overall, you know, university. And, you know, like you said, he's all in. I mean, he's... I remember on senior night, he comes up, hey, what do you want me to do? Like, he's part of the action. And so I gave him the flower bouquets, and he's the one that kind of met the seniors, gave them a hug, and became part of it. And I think that's just kind of who he is. First time I had an experience with him was at our Elite Eight when Sabrina and Ruthie and those guys were freshmen. We played back in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he was right there. He was in the locker room after, and he celebrated and also, you know, hugged our players because they were, you know, a lot of them were crying, and he's all in. I think that was a great assignment by the Pac-12.
Kelly Graves is with us. Why do you think it's important to him to kind of be a sports fan? Because I've even heard it said that before he took the job at Oregon, he got a quick X's and O's lesson on football because he didn't want to walk in and not know what he was talking about when he was watching football. Why is that important to him?
Well, I think it's part of our DNA at Oregon, you know, and with our relationship, our unique relationship with Nike. You know, I think it's just part of who we are, and I think he realized that early on. That's funny. He got a tutorial on football. That's, you know, if you're getting it from Chip Kelly, that's one thing. You know, that would be, I think, tough for anybody. But I think it showed that he wanted to know about it, and he wanted to be all in and be able to speak the language here at Oregon. So good on him. I think that just goes to show you his awareness of what's important.
Ivy League just shut down fall sports. They're saying nothing will happen until January 1. They're going to give an update on their winter sports, basketball, et cetera, in the coming weeks. What do you make of that, and what do you make of sort of the landscape amid this pandemic?
You know, John, if you would ask me this question 3 weeks ago, I would have probably given you a far more optimistic answer. We've regressed in the last couple of weeks, and it's a shame because I think sports might be one of those casualties. I don't know. I'm hopeful, and I will remain hopeful because that's in my DNA. But I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. Certainly in the fall, and it's still questionable in the winter. So I'm hopeful that we at least get a Pac-12 season out of this.
You get players that are going to report. You're going to start some workouts. Have you set up protocols yet, or do you just do you inherit sort of what the athletic department has laid out? How involved are you?
Well, I've been involved, not to the level of our doctors and trainers and the athletic department staff, but yeah, we have protocols in place at the arena. A lot of our players are actually, most of them are getting in this weekend. They have to isolate for a week, and then we're allowed, as of now, to work out with our players starting July 20th. But yeah, there's not going to be any locker room access. We're going to be really strict in their use of masks, even during their workouts. They have to go in a certain entrance and leave at a certain exit. It's going to be different, but it's what we got to do. And one of the things we do is we perform, we practice, we act like champions. And so we're going to do it the right way. We're not going to slip. I'm not going to let our players slide at all on these protocols. So, we want to do our part to ensure that our athletes, are going to be able to perform this year.
I look at, life after Sabrina, Ruthie, and Satu, and I wonder what you guys will look like on the court. Can you plug and play, or do you have to reinvent?
A little of both. I mean, obviously, it's been nice to have Sabrina out there for 4 years, and Satu for three, and Ruthie. I mean, we're just not going to have other players like them. Not saying that we can't have great players, and they're going to be special in their own right, but those were pretty iconic ones, and we're starting over in some ways. We have 13 players right now on next year's team, and 9 of them have never played for the Ducks. So only 4 returners. Seven of those are going to be freshmen, a couple of transfers. And so we're going to rely on, Aaron Boley and Lydia Giomi and Taylor Chavez and Jazz Shelley. Those are 4 really outstanding players who are, are going to have to kind of pass this culture and the expectations and our work ethic and everything else along to these newbies. But, we vetted our players, and we're getting the right ones. So it's not going to be hard for them to buy into our vision and our culture, but, it's a first for them. So it'll be interesting.
Kelly Graves with us, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. With football, we all know that the athletic departments need the revenue. With women's basketball, that revenue piece doesn't become as important, and you could slide the season around. Hypothetically speaking, and we're going to get a lot of this because it changes, as you said, 3 weeks from now could be a whole nother discussion. Hey, everything's great. We're starting on time. Let's go. But if you have to move the season, is it realistic to say that you could move the women's basketball season back into, hey, it doesn't start until January, and could you play it out that way, or does that become problematic in some way I'm not seeing?
Well, I'm sure there's some, problems that might arise from it. You'd then cross over into some of the spring sports, perhaps. But, yeah, I'm open to really anything. I just want to play. I do, and I know our players do. If we have to start the season in January, then so be it. If it's a shortened season, so be it. If it's a season with limited or no fans at all, so be it. I think we just want to play. And I would be open to that. We've talked about that starting in January. Why not? There's talk at the NBA level of doing that permanently. So, I don't see that happening in college, but I would be open to it. You bet.
What are you doing?
Especially since we're so young, John, we could probably use a little bit of extra practice. What I mean?
Yeah.
I
feel you. What are you doing that's away from sports? Because you've had some time off, and now certainly with the pandemic, you haven't been on the road recruiting in maybe the ways that you would have been in other years. What has that given you a chance to do that you might not otherwise have done?
Well, certainly reconnect with the family. We've spent a lot of time up here in Central Oregon, as you know, and went out. We played a foursome yesterday in Eugene. You know, me and my three boys, and I was on the losing end, big guy. Thank God we don't play for money, because it would be money I'd have to loan them. You know.
Yeah.
So if they beat me, I would loan them, and they'd have to pay me. You know what I mean? So either way, I'm on the short end there. Spent a lot of time just to reconnect with the family. That's been great. I've stayed busy. I think, there's little purpose to what we're doing actually professionally, it seems like. But I've stayed busy. I've learned a lot. I've had a chance after 34 years. You know, you're kind of set in your ways. And I've been able to really talk with a bunch of, great coaches around the country. And I'm looking at things a little differently. I might change up a little bit of what we do and how we do it. And that's always kind of unique. So I feel young again. I feel like, I'm a new coach again in some ways. But, no, mainly it's just passing the time, with the family. And we're able to watch a little bit. There's a tournament going on as we speak in Indianapolis with about 250 teams, some of the high-level teams in the country, across the country. So, we've been watching those games on live stream, and that's pretty cool. So there's still a little bit of recruiting. I was on several calls this morning recruiting, so that never stops, whether it's in person or on the phone.
How does having a Sabrina come through your program change the recruiting message? Are kids more aware of Oregon women's basketball than ever, or what happened?
No question. I used to ask recruits all the time, who's your favorite player? And they would list off, seldom a women's basketball player. It'd always be a LeBron or a Kobe or a Michael Jordan or whatever. And most of them now say Sabrina. I mean, she's changed the game, certainly changed it for us and changed the perception of what a superstar can be. And sure, that's really helped put Oregon on the, on the map. Look at our five signees. All five of them McDonald's All-Americans. That wouldn't have happened pre-Sabrina, I don't think. They're from all over the country, New Jersey, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, and California.
How do you hold on to, because you've created great culture, and you had the blessing of having a star player in Sabrina who really bought in and set a great example. She was not a prima donna. She was a hardworking kid. I'm sure in practice was your hardest working player. I mean, how do you then talk to McDonald's All-Americans all over the country and hold on to that culture while recruiting players who are all the best player on their team? Is there any danger in there?
Absolutely. We've never been in this position before. We've had great players, but, even Ruthie Hebert fell under the radar. She was ranked in the 70s or 80s in that class. So this is unique. But again, I think we got players that, fit who we are and how we play, and we don't promise them anything. I think that's been, when you hear Satu and Ruthie and Sabrina talk and give interviews now, that's the common thread. They'll say when we were recruiting them, we didn't promise them anything. We talked about, what you give us, we'll give you, and you're going to have to work for it. So we've kept that those same talking points with this team. So they understand what they're getting into, I think. But it's going to be a difficult challenge with this much talent to keep them all happy, right? Playing playing time, meaningful playing time for everybody. But, when you're in one of the best programs in the country, that's what happens. The strong survive, and sometimes you have to weed out the others. I hope that doesn't happen, because these are all great young women and we want them in our program 4 years, but how it is nowadays in college athletics.
I was talking to a friend of mine who lives in New York, and he's got a daughter that is a stud freshman high school basketball player, be a sophomore next year, and he told me she's being recruited by Stanford and UCLA and some others, and he said it's crazy to be on their end of it. And he's asking me questions. How long will Tara stay at Stanford? All the questions I don't have the answer to, right? I often think about their experience, because we talk all the time. I know about your experience. What is it like for them to be recruited as a freshman, sophomore, junior, And how do you navigate it, knowing that you got to be empathetic towards the idea that they're being sold constantly, beginning as a freshman in high school?
Well, it's tough. I mean, I personally don't really enjoy talking with young kids. At some level, you want them to just be a teenager and have fun and not have to worry as a freshman in high school about being recruited in college already. You know, a lot of them, they haven't even played a high school game yet, and they're getting calls, or actually they're not getting any calls, but they are having to call these coaches. I got an issue with that. Now, I do it to some degree, but I think it's important that they just not worry. Just play for fun. Get better, and all this recruiting stuff will work itself out. I just couldn't imagine. I think that's why a lot of these elite athletes, in fact, one of whom I talked with today, has already narrowed it down to her top six. And that's smart, because then you get rid of a lot of the noise and you can focus on those schools that you truly are interested in. So, yeah, I wouldn't know, John. Come on, I wasn't very good. I mean, I didn't get recruited to that level, big guy. I was the one doing the recruiting. I was calling schools saying, hey, do you want me? Those were pretty short conversations, too, most of the time.
In baseball, they talk about the best hitting coaches were players who struggled to hit, right? Because they had to. It wasn't like Barry Bonds could step in and tell a young player, hey, you know, just turn on that and, you know, turn on that 97 mile an hour fastball and, you know, hit it down the right field line or whatever. It came too easy for some of those guys. Do you think that's true in basketball? Do you find that the grinders make better coaches?
Well, look at who's leading our best teams, not only in college, but in the pros. You know, Magic Johnson wasn't a great coach. Larry Bird had a decent career, but he wasn't long lasting. Isaiah Thomas's was pretty quick. So you look at some of the better players, and they haven't fared so well as coaches. So I think think there's something to that, John.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that. Look at Terry Stotts, right? Grinder is a player, but understands how to manage a locker room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry Sloan, same. You know, rest in peace. But yeah, he's was very much like that.
You ask your recruits who their favorite player is. Who was your favorite player growing up?
You know, I was a Bird guy. I liked Larry Bird. Before that, it was Walt Frazier. Man,
yeah,
he was my favorite because he was smooth like me out on the court, John. But later on it was Larry, and of course now it's LeBron. You and I have talked about that ad nauseum.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's different. I grew up an ABA fan, so I watched Moses Malone as a rookie with the Utah Stars, and I watched Dr. J in person. You know, when he was with the Virginia Squires and then later the New York Nets. So I was an ABA guy, and Willie Wise played for the Utah Stars, and he was my guy. Willie Wise from Drake led them to a Final Four, believe it or not.
I love it. Hey, I hope you guys get to play your full season. I hope that we are all pleasantly surprised with what happens into the fall and into the winter. And I appreciate you always coming on this show. And I appreciate that you listen to the show when you're not on it. Love it.
Oh, John, I enjoy it. You know, you're my guy. And listen, I just want to admonish everybody. Let's do the right thing. You know, wearing a mask is not a political statement. I don't feel like my civil liberties are being infringed upon because I wear a mask into a store. And we just got to do the right thing and get this thing under control. I know everybody wants their sports, but, you know, we got to sacrifice for it. Just like my team sacrifices for each other, that's what we're doing with this. So, you know, let's do what we're supposed to do. And I think by now everybody knows what that is, right?
Yep. Amen. I have no follow-up with that one. Kelly Graves, thank you. Good stuff.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Care.
Have fun in Black Butte.
Yep, will do. There's Kelly Graves. Central Oregon. In Central Oregon himself. I did have that. I had a stepfather of a 6'2" freshman who lives in New York who's asking me, hey, how long will Tara Vanderveer be at Stanford? I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Grab a podcast of the Kelly Graves interview. You can get it on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, all of those places where you can get a podcast. You can get the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. The 2 at 2 is coming up at the top of the hour. The news of the day, the Ivy League has decided that it will not play fall sports. Becomes the first conference to announce that it is canceling, not suspending, not postponing, canceling the fall sports seasons. They are going to reevaluate later in this month whether or not the winter sports season will happen on time. Here's what I think is going to happen. Dominoes are falling, right? That said, the FBS is far less reliant upon revenue than the Ivies, okay? So this isn't about revenue to the Ivies. It's about safety, and they're saying, look, it's not safe to play. I do believe that the college football season will be played. I don't believe it's going to happen on time, and I don't believe it's going to happen as scheduled. I think it'll be moved back. It could be spring football. I think it could be shortened. It could be conference only. I think we're going to have some varietal that emerges from the college football season that doesn't look like college football traditionally looks. It may not involve a playoff or any of that. So I do think we're going to see changes that come from this. And I do think that if you're looking for dominoes, I do think that happens. I also think you're going to start to get reports from coaches, from staff members, from athletic directors who are going to step outside the talking points and are going to start being honest with the public and start saying, look, I just don't see this happening in the fall for football. I just don't know how they're going to do it. I think the right action, if college football is going to take an action, is to move the whole thing back right now and say, we're hopeful we can play it in spring. We're not going to have football in the fall. I think it's the right move when it comes to making sure that the FBS schools, the Power Five schools, come forward and go, look, we're playing safely. I think that's a big, big deal. All right, the 2 at 2 is coming up, top of the hour. We'll talk more about this, what it means. My wife will join the show in the 2 o'clock hour. It will be action-packed. It's called the happy hour because it is a happier hour. I want you to leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.